Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, Clint Sterner, he is out, but in. Wade Smith, former Pro Bowler, Houston Texan, is in the building, and some potential real devastating news to the Houston Astros. This is Dusty Baker speaking on and giving an update on his left-handed starting pitcher, Framber Valdez.
Just trying to make a decision on what we're going to do. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a real big deal. I mean, he was just coming into his own. You saw how he pitched last year. You saw how the progress that he made, and you saw how he pitched down the stretch. Yeah, it's a tremendous blow. But, we're going to have to try to hopefully somebody in our system can come through like Framber did for us last year.
And the reason also, Wade, why this is becoming a real concerning element for the Astros, this has been reported from John Heyman. The initial recommendation to top young Astros starting pitcher Framber Valdez is for surgery to repair his fractured ring finger, and the early belief is that it could make him miss the entire 2021 season. But the team is looking to get second opinions before they comment any further. If they lose Framber Valdez, does this change? That's a big if they lose him for the season, does this change your expectation level for this team?
Only slightly. I mean, I had expectations of them being able to compete just like they have over the past 3 or 4 years, 5 years, that they've been right there in, playing for World Series, playing in the ALCS. That's how far that I expected this team had the ability to get to, because they still have a tremendous amount of talent. You get a guy like Yordan Alvarez back, a guy that you didn't have last year. There's a lot of good things that you have going with the Astros besides losing Framber Valdez. And so maybe my expectations will change a little bit for the starting pitching that they're going to get and the production they're going to get from that spot. But the good thing about baseball, man, you can sometimes make up for other aspects because your bats are on point. Maybe those seven bats that you would say anybody would want to have in their lineup, those guys play at a high level. They play better than what they did last year. Because think about it. Jose Altuve didn't have a great year last year at all. If Jose Altuve gets back to being Jose Altuve, that could mitigate the loss of Framber Valdez. Because if you're averaging, a half an extra run a game because of that, then now, it might be negligible. So I think slightly it changes my expectations, but not much, because they have a lot of talent on the roster. And they got Yordan back, a guy that didn't have it last year. So I think they're still going to be able to compete with the big dogs.
Yeah, pitching. I would say I had them as the expectation that they could win the West, mm-hmm. win the AL West, and they could get
Oakland's
into the
postseason. Oakland's going to be right there.
But the expectation with this crew, they could win the West and be a playoff team. And, hey, the playoffs, nothing is more of a crapshoot than the Major League Baseball playoffs, because pitchers can get hot, or your 3, 4, and 5 hitters can just go ice cold at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So, but over time, over 160, 50, whatever games they're going to play, I would have thought that. Now, I look at this as a crew that is a step behind that, because I think he's your best pitcher on the staff. We still, and we've talked about this, don't know that you have great confidence in whatever your closer situation is. And now you may have to be dependent on guys like Forrest Whitley. Like Forrest Whitley might have to, and Brandon Belak, some people are smirking, but guys like that might have to enter the rotation.
Hello, my name's Forrest.
And you're going for heaven to potentially depend on Forrest tonight. That's a big difference. And losing, as Dusty Baker said in that clip earlier, a guy who started to come into his own in the postseason and who was clearly your best pitcher in the postseason, where you got to Game 7 of the ALCS, it drops them down a bit. They got to go make a move to get themselves back up to that level, in my opinion.
And see, when you say go make a move, I don't know what pieces they have you'd want to move to make that happen. I think it shrinks their margin of error in a legitimate manner. And so now your margin for error is smaller, but at the same time, there is a path to success. And as long as you have a path to success and you can still compete with the big dogs, I think you can be all right. They figured out a way last year without Verlander to be right there at the end. And so I still feel like they still have a legitimate opportunity to compete with the big dogs. It's going to hurt. No question it's going to hurt. Yeah. But they're going to have other guys step up. Like you said, they got to count a little bit on force. He hasn't been a guy that's shown that he can do it. But now's time is his chance now is better than any other time. So he got to take advantage of it and do what he needs to do to pick up the team and be next man up.
Big 3-3, number two.
He came back, baby. Last night he came back, James Harden. I predicted he would put up 32 points. He put up 29.
Bringing it back to his show.
That's right. He put up 29, 10, and 14. Triple-double, three steals, and helped hand the Rockets their 13th straight loss. This 17, which is the club record, is really getting close. Really get close. Mixed on the Boo front. Boo cheering. They put a beautiful video together for James Harden, as you said they would, Wade. But he came back. It's over. James Harden did exactly what we thought he would do to the Rockets.
Yeah, I thought he was going to put up 40-plus. I thought he was going to try to do that. But he just played a very consistent all-around game, which he's been doing since he's made it to Brooklyn. Triple-double. The game was never really in question. John Wall had a damn good game. Oladipo had a damn good game, but it didn't matter. They didn't have enough to really hang with Brooklyn. And the question is, when is Christian Wood get back? Because when he gets back, that's when the winning streak will start back again. I think the losing streak will end. When he left, that's when it started. So until he gets back, I have no confidence that they're going to beat anybody on the schedule. They've been playing some teams on the schedule that aren't good. Cleveland's not a good basketball team. They didn't really look like they could win that game really at any point. They missed that piece in Christian Wood, and they've had guys that are missing time with injuries here and there. Eric Gordon, guys just missing. You gotta get them back at full strength for them to have a chance to end this. And so I don't know if he'll be back before you get to game 17, but if he doesn't, I have no confidence that they are going to stop the streak.
I mean, they got blitzed 132 to 114. I thought they would put up a little something more than this. I thought this was a game that they would gear up and be ready for, but maybe what James Harden just said about the team on his way out, we just continue to see they're just not good enough.
I mean, their top two guys put up somewhere around 80 points between the two of them. That's putting up a fight. You just, you know, Brooklyn put up 132. You can't stop anybody.
No, you can't stop anybody.
Big 3-3, number three.
All right, in the NFL, an AFC contender made themselves a worse contender today. The Steelers announced a new contract for quarterback Thursday afternoon with Ben Roethlisberger. At first, the numbers weren't disclosed, but now he's going to take a $5 million pay cut. Ben Roethlisberger will be the Steelers' quarterback next season, and the Steelers save about $15 million in cap space. I joke about them being a contender. We'll see what they can do with that. Now that they're able to save that money, can they bolster up their offensive line and that running game? Because you understand the age of Ben. He's got to have help. He can't step back and throw it 40 times a game. They've got to take this thing back to when Ben first started with the Steelers.
I mean, his longtime center retired.
That's tough.
He's going to need help with the offensive line. They got a new offensive line coach. It looks like they might be changing up how they're doing things up front. They're going to need to add some pieces there with the Steelers in order to help him. He's probably going to lose Juju Smith-Schuster. Golly. That's why we just call him Juju.
Smith-Schuster.
But Juju is going to be gone. Of course, Antonio Brown is not walking through that door anytime soon. He's got some young talent on the roster as far as the receiver core. But Ben, he must really want to play. He gave up $5 million. He must really want to play. He sold his center a dream. He told him after the game, said, the only reason I came back was for you. Did you see that clip that they were sitting on the bench together and said, the only reason I came back was like, no, you didn't. Because you were tired and you coming back again and you gave up $5 million. You love the game. That's why you came back.
You surprised and he gave up he this money?
Yeah. In one respect, I mean, Yeah. I mean, did they come to him or did he willingly do it? I feel like
they've been saying all offseason, we have to do something about his contract. Like, yeah. We can't.
He really wants to play. It doesn't surprise him that he really wants to play.
And also, he has to recognize, like, they're not going to do any – what's the reason for him to come in if he ain't got no chance to win? They're not going to do any kind of winning with his numbers. Like, they need help up across that offensive line. One of the biggest strengths of the Steelers for years was a real issue. James Conner, they've said, isn't going to return. They're going to potentially do something there. He had to do something to help them. And $15 million in cap space is big.
They won the division last year, though. So it's not like he feels like
they have far to go.
I mean, they won the division. Cleveland came in there and shocked the world. They didn't really shock the world, but they beat them up really good. And nobody expected that to happen. But
it was leaking towards the end of the season. It was leaking towards the end of the season where you saw – man, they're not competing. Hell, with the Chiefs, they're not competing with Cleveland and Buffalo. So, if he wants to get, because for him, right, Ben, he's won two Super Bowls. It's got to be about trying to get there again. And he knows, if I'm gonna take up this much money on the cap, like, I'm not gonna be able to help this team to be able to get to that place. And they're not playing for second and third in the division, I don't think.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that he took a pay cut that he really wants to play, but it does surprise me that he really wants to play. That's the thing because he told Pouncey on the bench. He said, "Hey man, the only reason I did this for you." I said when I saw that, I was like, "Okay, well, damn, he's almost out the door because he only came back for because he won." And I understand that sentiment. I'm gonna play for my brothers. I get that sentiment, but. His brother retires, and he's still willing to give up $5 million. You really want to play the game. And if you truly love the game, you're not playing just to win a championship. You're playing because you feel like you have a chance, but you just love the game. And some guys, you gotta push them out the game kicking and screaming. I respect that. I ain't mad at that one bit because once you leave the game, you can't replicate the same, anything of what you have when you're in the building and when you're actually competing – with the best against the best.
Yeah, you can't get that rush nowhere else. No. All right, here's the thought. Can J.J. Watt, by his play, really stick the knife in deeper to Texans fans? Can his play make you sadder about him leaving? That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, tell me this, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner. How good can J.J. Watt be in Arizona? Because I look at this and I think a lot of Texans fans, it's more the emotional thing with J.J. because of what he has meant to this region and this city more than what he can do on the field. When DeAndre Hopkins gets traded and what's happening with Deshaun, it's a gut punch because you know them dudes are still absolutely possibly the one of the tops at their position.
Yeah.
And it's the play, and it's what you're going to miss for the years to come. With J.J., it's more the emotional thing. But do you think J.J. could perform at a level that would tick off people that are Texans fans to a space where they're like, damn, we didn't know he could still do that. We didn't know he could still play like that. Because last year, 5 sacks, he still kicked people's ass up front, but not the explosive, big-time takeover game moments that we've seen from J.J. Can he do that in Arizona?
I don't think he can make the fan base here mad. I think he can play very well there because he has pieces around him that's going to allow him to play at a high level and get the stats. Because he played well here for the Texans, he just didn't get the stats because – you get sacks when you're ahead in ball games. Remember the big blow up that him and Bill O'Brien had? He was like, "How about you give us a lead in the game so that we can, play some defense from ahead?" The Texans always were starting games from behind. They always were. They couldn't score early in ball games because they didn't know how to do a script. Like, they were always playing from behind. And so when you're on a defense that plays from behind, can't stop the run, teams are going to continue to run the ball. They're going to continue to play action you. And so your opportunities to get, you know, a full-on, this is a passing down, passing situation, those opportunities are minimized. And so now you don't get opportunities to get sacks. That's why he only has 5.5 sacks or whatever it was last year. Like, he's going to get opportunities to get sacks playing for the Arizona Cardinals because, for one, his division, there's no good offensive lines in his division. He's going to be going against the Seahawks, the Rams, and the 49ers. The 49ers had good offensive lines in the past couple years, but they lost their offensive line coach. Trent Williams is a free agent. I think
somebody retired. One of the guards retired. Apati.
No, Lapati, he's with the Seahawks, though. He's part of their offensive line, yeah. But I think McGlinchey might be a free agent, too. There's a bunch of people there that are not good. And so J.J.'s going to feast. You put J.J. Watt against a bad offensive lineman, he's going to have a field day. And especially when he has a lead and you're going to put them in passing downs. And then especially when he has Chandler Jones on the other side of him, or if they re-sign Hassan Reddick, you can line J.J. Watt in on the 3 technique or a 5 technique, line him up against a guard, a wide 3 technique. You line him up against a guard on third down, that's a mismatch in his favor. And so I would expect, and that's something that I was really wanting to see more out of J.J. while he was here with the Texans, of them putting him up against guards, because that is a tough matchup for 90-95% of all offensive guards in the NFL against J.J. Watt on that interior. That's where he really started making his hay early on in his career, was beating guards. And so now he's to that stage of his career where he needs to get back to doing that. I think he's going to get those opportunities in Arizona. So I expect him to do well. I don't expect the Texans fans to get upset because they got the better version of J.J. I just don't see it.
You don't think so?
I think our fans are smart enough to know that J.J. needed help. Anthony Weaver got on a press conference, on a Zoom call, and basically begged for help. We need help. It was like an intervention. I need help. He recognized the fact, the first stage of recognizing you have a problem is, or to beat an addiction or beat a bad situation, is to recognize that you have a problem and that he had a problem. He had no talent. And so people understand that J.J. didn't have help. People understand that J.J. were never playing with a lead. So he's not going to get as many sacks. He was still beating guys, and he led the league in tackles for loss. That's making plays. So, no, I don't think Texans fans will get mad at
J.J. All right, well, hold on. Well, Wade Smith in for Clint. Straight. Let's strip this down. Do you think he still has the ability to be a Pro Bowler?
That's tough because he's playing in the NFC. And I think about all the defensive players in the NFC on the defensive line. Like, maybe. I wouldn't put money on it.
So a possibility.
He has a chance.
He has a chance to be a possibility to be a Pro Bowler, and like a real one, not a J.J. Watt's name gets him in, like a real Pro Bowl level player. He's got a possibility to do.
Well, they don't really pull the. You know, I don't really see the NBA type of.
You don't see that
Dirk Nowitzki when he's in his 16th year going to the All-Star game type of stuff. I don't really see that in the NFL.
Well, some guys get it by name. I've seen a couple people. Frank Clark got into the Pro Bowl last year by straight up name.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't have a good year last year?
No.
How many sacks did he have? He had double digit sacks, didn't he?
No, he had like 6 or 7.
Did he?
Yeah. But all right, so there's a possibility he could be a Pro Bowler. Do you think, speaking of sacks, do you think you could see him get double digit sacks?
Yeah, I could see him ending up with 10, 11 sacks, maybe 12 sacks. I could see him having that. I mean, as long as he stays healthy, as long as the guys around him stay healthy, as long as guys play up to their ability, on paper, for sure he can get double-digit sacks. You got to understand the lack of opportunities that they had last year to just pin their ears back and go after people. It was so rare that you had teams in third and longs, or it was so rare that you had a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead in a game to where you knew that the team was going to have to throw the ball 80% of the downs. Like that, they were not put in that situation very often. And so there's been times in his career where the games were either, like, you got to think about when he first started playing in those Kubiak years, like, it was rare we weren't up early in the game. We scored and got leads early, and then we just ran the ball and ran the clock out. And so our defense got to just get after people. Rush the passer with Wade Phillips' defense. And so that's how he came into the league, and he started off. And then even when Bill O'Brien got here, they might not have started off with these big leads or anything, but the games were always competitive. And so the games were in the balance, and so you had opportunities to create. And then he had Jadeveon Clowney with them playing. He had later on in his career, DJ Reader with them playing. But he had a different Whitney Merciless. He had Whitney Merciless when he was Whitney Merciless then, when he was really balling. He had a lot of guys around him that could rush the passer. And so he got opportunities to get after the quarterback. He really didn't get that many opportunities. Because, yeah, I think the last time that he had a full season and the defense was a legitimate defense, he had like 16 sacks.
2 years ago.
16 sacks was 2 years ago. Last year, they let too many people go, and they didn't replace them. And so it was just him, and the offense could say, oh, we're just going to shut down J.J. And even with that being said, he led the league in tackles for loss. He just didn't get those sacks.
All right, see, everything you're saying from a football standpoint sounds real good. Watch this. Tyler, let me get you this. You're the biggest Houston fan that I know of. And text line, you can jump in on this too as well. If J.J. Watt goes to Arizona and he is a Pro Bowler and he has 10, 11 sacks, you ain't going to be fired up about the production that he was able to give compared to what he's been able to do here lately.
Yes and no. I'm going to be fired up. I fully expect that to happen at this point because it just continues to burn. But I won't be mad at J.J.
No, you're not mad at J.J. You're mad at what the
– Yeah, yeah. I mean
– You're like, what the hell happened?
He was by far the best player on the defense last year because that was a historically bad defense. So I fully expect him with Chandler on the other side to have double-digit sacks in a great year.
I think
just keep stinging that wound that we have here in Houston.
As I said, Wade, I think a lot of it from a football standpoint is good that what you're bringing up is right. But I think a lot of fans will look at it and think J.J. is not the same – not the same player, but he's really taken maybe a couple of steps down from what we remember. Like that, I think to fans, that 16 sack season may have been longer than 2 years ago from what you watch, injuries, and now what you saw last year. Let that man come out and have double-digit sacks and play at a Pro Bowl level. I think people here are going to look at, what the hell was going on? Like, we didn't know he still had this left in the tank. Like, I think there are fans out here who wonder if he has double-digit sacks left in the tank.
I think people might look at it and say, why didn't we get something for him? You know, like, I could see that. But people watched J.J. play last year. They watched him sometimes jump out of gaps and cause issues, but they also watched him more times than not jump out of gaps and make plays with his quickness and tackles for loss. That's just J.J. Watt. I wouldn't expect them – I would look at him kind of sideways if you feel something about J.J. Watt because he did something there. To me, you're not understanding ball. He has people around him that's going to help. He has a competent offense that's going to get him leads early in games and put teams in situations to where they're going to have to pass. You're going to have to pass to keep up with the Cardinals.
That's what people are saying. It will burn just the way it burned the way watching DeAndre Hopkins.
I think those are two totally different situations because Hop was still in his prime. Like J.J. is coming towards the tail end of his career, but he can still play at a high level. Everybody knows that J.J. wanted to go because of everything that's got us to that point. But what started us to that point was the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. So the sentiment of the fan base is like completely different. Like if I'm looking at it, I'm saying there's no way in hell that DeAndre Hopkins should be an Arizona Cardinal. But by the time you get to J.J., it's like, yeah, I understand why he's a Cardinal because of all this foolishness that's led to this point. So I think it's a different feel just all together between those two guys. J.J., I expect him to have a damn good year. 10, 11 sacks, if he's a Pro Bowler, congrats. But he didn't have the opportunities to put up those same numbers that what he did, what he's going to do in Arizona here because he didn't have the people around him.
The Jets seem like the best trade partner for the Texans if they're going to trade Deshaun Watson. But what is the smart thing for the Jets? To go after Deshaun or to stay pat? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner is out. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, he is in the building for Clint. And Wade, I think the Jets, if Deshaun does become a trade piece, the Jets seem to be the place to make the best deal. But here is their general manager, Joe Douglas. He speaks and kind of gives, I don't know if you want to believe him or not, but some thoughts on how he may handle this situation with their quarterback position.
Not necessarily talking about any specific player, because I know you can't go into those specifics, but philosophically, like, are you open to dealing a significant number of those picks that you've acquired for a player if that opportunity presented itself, or do you prefer to keep these picks that you've acquired?
Look, I mean, there's what we're positioned to, and obviously we have a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different rabbit holes we can go down. Not to get so much into a hypothetical question, but I just go back to the same thing I said to Rich when he asked about our philosophy. Ultimately, for us to get to where the great teams are, the most consistent teams are, you do that through the draft. And it's the most player-friendly, or it's most team-friendly market in sports. And so for us to really be that team that's consistently competing for Super Bowls, we have to hit on our draft picks.
And listen, I wouldn't buy into a ton of what he said to say to yourself, oh, man, so they're not going to – they wouldn't trade for Deshaun, or they would. No, these guys are all – part of their job is to be professional liars and to not play their hand, and they're going to lie. They're going to say stuff, except for one front office person. But outside of that one, they're going to lie, all right, and they're going to not give away their hand. So the Jets would be the best package. We've talked about that, Wade. But what should they do? Should they trade for Deshaun, or should they do what he said, work with the draft, because they got 4 first-round picks. They've got 2nd-round picks. They've got a lot to do to build their team with their brand-new coach, Robert Saleh.
So they have so many picks that, to me, they can kill 2 birds with 1 stone. They can multitask. There's both things can be true. I know that statement is said a lot. But you can trade for Deshaun Watson and still have draft picks to overall help build your roster, because they have – such an overabundance of draft picks that they'd be able to do that. Like, if you do a mega deal with Deshaun Watson and it costs you, you know, 2 first-round picks this year, 1 of your 2 first-round picks next year, and some first-round picks down the road, maybe 1 or 2 if you do it on draft day, those first-round picks are gone, but you still got second-round picks. You still have a first-round pick next season. You still have the ability to have the most important part of being a consistent winner, which he didn't mention because that wasn't specifically asked, but having a quarterback is the key factor to being a consistent winner in the NFL. You name me a team that consistently puts out 10, 11, 12 win performances, I bet you they got a franchise quarterback. And you can't find me a franchise that consistently wins 10, 11, 12 games that don't have a franchise quarterback. So to me, that is the ultimate key. So he's being smart. He's not going to show his hand. I expect him to not show his hand. If you know anything of what you're doing, you can't come off sounding thirsty. You can't be thirsty. You can't. Same way Nick Caserio is going to continue to be like, I don't try to hear anything about Deshaun Watson and letting him go, because I want his value to be at the absolute high. If you're New York and you're seriously contemplating trading for a guy like Deshaun Watson or trading for a guy like Russell Wilson, you don't want to sound thirsty, because if you sound thirsty, you sound vulnerable, you will get exploited. I was listening to something earlier today. They were talking about the Chicago Bears, that right now they're so vulnerable. Everybody knows that the Bears are vulnerable right now because their GM and their head coach literally on a 1-year deal right now. If they don't get it right this year, they're going to get fired.
Yep.
So everyone knows that. This is not the cotillion where everybody is so courteous and gentlemanly with each other. These are sharks. And if they see blood in the water, they're going to take advantage of it. So any GM worth his salt is not going to let people know that he's really thirsty for Deshaun Watson. Shoot, Carolina Panthers, the fact that everybody's talking about the their owner wants to make a deal, he wants to make a big splash, that's not good for him. That's going to cost him in the long run. Now, he might want to make a splash, and he can explain it away by the amount of money he'd be able to generate by getting a quarterback in there. But still, you don't want to be that guy that's thirsty and showing everybody that this is what you want. And so what Joe Douglas said, it doesn't surprise me one bit. I think the best choice for him is to trade for Deshaun Watson as opposed to trying to utilize Sam Darnold or draft one of these young guys like Zach Wilson or Justin Fields or Trey Lance.
I don't know where are you at on that. Because for the Texans, if they can get the Jets involved, they have the best package. Because I think Sam Darnold is a guy that you wouldn't have any issues with starting your as your quarterback. A young guy who was a top 10 pick before. They have the highest pick. They've got multiple first round picks this year and next year. That would be the team that could present the best package. But should they? Do you? Wade believes they should. They should go on and go after Deshaun Watson. Sleazy, you do too, right? You're one who believes they should go for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after watching this team in Houston look for a franchise quarterback for 16 years and fail miserably time after time, you kind of learn how valuable having that position is and someone who can be very successful under center is. So, yeah, you gotta get the for sure thing. You can't be rolling the dice.
And the point he's making, the for sure thing, look at the quarterbacks that are in this class, right? Zach Wilson is a guy that had one good season. He really had one good season. Are you going to bet on that? Are you going to bet on Justin Fields that has some deficiencies in his game, that he has a lot that you can like about him, a lot to love about him, but you've seen, like, I don't know, is this guy going to really be the guy? Trey Lance, a guy that only played one game this season, and he's coming from a small school. Like, is this really the guy? Sam Darnold. We know what we have in Sam Darnold is what our offensive scheme bringing in here, is this going to allow him to for sure be the guy?
But do we know what we have at Sam? Like, do you like
they got it. They have to know.
I mean, they
that's their job to know.
They have an idea, but Sam hasn't put his best out. Like, I don't. Maybe he has. I don't know if Sam. I don't think Sam's been in a great situation.
Not at all. I don't think you would argue that's what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is I can extrapolate out how good I think this guy can possibly be, but he still has to go out there and prove it and do it. You've seen Deshaun Watson do it at a high level. You've seen it. It's already been done, and you know what you're going to get when you bring him in here. All you're projecting is how does he fit in this particular scheme, which is that Kubiak-Shanahan offense. And from all reports, this is from me, my eyes, from anybody outside looking in saying, if you put Deshaun Watson in that offense, good luck. Like, good luck trying to defend him. Good luck trying to stop him, because they're going to have a run game. They're going to be able to play action. When things break down, he's going to be able to scramble and break your back, third and longs. He's going to be Deshaun Watson, and teams are going to be on their heels all game long. That's the perfect scenario. So if you're the New York Jets and you have the ability to accelerate your process of building a championship team that's consistently playing with the big dogs, you get your quarterback, you've just taken two huge steps in that direction. The draft picks that you give up, remember, this is an anomaly, the amount of draft picks that they have.
Yeah.
They had to get rid of a bunch of players, a bunch of young players that are good, talented players in order to get these draft picks. Well, the reason you do that is for something like this to pop off, something like this to come up and say, oh, we have a chance now to utilize these picks to get somebody that's here and now ready to go. Because I can't think of an example of a team that had a boatload of picks like that and then just built it completely from ground up. I've yet to seen that all the way vet out. I've seen in most of the time these situations occur in basketball. Basketball, the teams will get four or five first round picks or whatever, and then they start flipping those to get actual players. You really haven't seen it as much in football, but You're gonna take the for show for before you take the I don't know.
No, based off what you and Tyler have said, I have generally been a coach quarterback guy. Like, I am a, hey, what team's got the best coach and quarterback? Yeah, I lean that. I'm big, big quarterback person. I believe they affect the game in a major way. And I still lean, I think, towards what you're going with. But one, I really do, I do think Sam Darnold has a chance, not maybe not to be Deshaun, but I think Sam Darnold has a chance to be a Dak Prescott, like a
Alex Smith.
And I think he could be better than that. Like, I think he can be, his ceiling could be higher than that. So that's a part of it. And the other part is, last year messed with me. The Texans season last year messed with the way that I think about football.
Because of the 4-12?
And I can admit that. Like, man, they messed with me. Like, they had one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL last year and played his ass off. I mean, he had some issues earlier in the season, but Deshaun Watson was flat out one of the best players in football. The numbers said it and everything said it. But damn, they won 4 games. And I understand everything that went around it, but I'm just saying, damn, they won 4 games.
Historically bad defense. Historically.
That's
not in the past 3 years, the past 5 years. Historically,
I know,
bad
and bad running game. I know that, but it's just, whew. If I got Sam Darnold, and I think, and Sam Darnold could be maybe not a top 5 quarterback, but I think he could be a top 10, 12 quarterback. And I look at that, and I'm like, but I got these 3 first round picks, and hell, I could get more if I trade down with Carolina for them to come up and get 2 and get down 8, and I can really build this defense up with Robert Saleh and bring in those cats in, like really build. That's one I got to think of. But like, I'm not going to lie to you. It was weird for me because I am such a quarterback person. But that shook me a bit last year to see a quarterback not just play well, but play as one of the top 3 quarterbacks in football. And it got his team 4 wins. And it's just like that threw me off a little bit, Wade. I ain't going to lie.
I think if you were looking at it from the outside looking in, if you were somebody that was living in Toronto, if you were living in Chicago, if you were living in Miami, you looked and you said, man, how the hell did the Texans only win 4 games when Deshaun Watson played at such a high level the entire year? But we were here week in and week out every day. We saw the games. We watched how the Colts game ended or how the Titans game ended. We watched that those should have been W's. We watched how the Minnesota Vikings game went. Like, you watched that go down. You watched the fact that the defense couldn't stop anybody. I think the best game they had was against Cleveland, right? That was probably the best defensive performance
all year
long. And then the
offense struggled that game.
Right. But they still gave up like 200 yards rushing that game to Cleveland. Like, they couldn't stop anybody.
And I know, and all of the other stuff anybody, that was surrounding the internally and everything with the firing of your coach in 4 weeks. And,
yeah,
and I think their coaching was struggled, but still, it's just that, like, I've never seen a quarterback play that well in his team win loss record end up that way.
So I don't remember what Schaub's stats were for the entire 2010 season, but that offense was a damn good offense. And 1 week we have a 231 yard rusher, the next week we have a 527 yard passer. And that year we went 6-10. We went 6-10 because we couldn't stop anybody. It's a team game. Quarterbacks are very, 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 very important. But if you can't stop anybody, if you can't get key stops, like you look at Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs a couple years back, they were winning games 48-44, but their defense could make a key stop, create a turnover, something. This team could not do that. This team could not do that. They had 3 interceptions all year. Think about that. They had 3 interceptions by an entire defense.
I know how bad it was, but it nothing in your mind at all. Just think, God, if I'm the Jets. Shoot, if I trade 3 first-round picks, including the second one, and maybe Quinnen Williams and Sam Darnold to get Deshaun. In my mind, normally, it puts together, like, let me get Deshaun, I'll figure out the rest. But damn, it shook me a little bit that he played at such a high level. I mean, he played at the level that Brady did. He played at the level that Mahomes did, near Mahomes and Rodgers. He was probably a shade under them.
You talk about Brady this year? He played better than Brady.
Brady
had a team, though.
But
Brady had a
team, if you look at Brady's number, like all five of those.
Deshaun's numbers were markedly better.
All five of those guys in terms of rating and everything. In terms of rating, those were the top five.
Okay, ratings, yeah, just rating. But I'm talking about touchdowns, yards. I mean, think about the people that Tom Brady was throwing the ball to. If you put Deshaun Watson in that offense with those skilled people around him in that defense, they win the Super Bowl as well.
I understand that. I'm just saying, from the Jets' perspective of everything that you would unload to get him, last year, the Texan season, it was just something I'd never seen before. I'd never seen a quarterback play at a MVP level and they win four games, which, understanding even more how much of a team game it is and the thought of, well, do I think Sam Darnold is an above-average quarterback that can even grow even more? And then if I put weapons around him and I got a lot of early draft picks and I got $60-something million under the cap, that's one that I don't know if it's as easy as just say, yeah, I'm going after Deshaun.
Well, they got more like $79 million under the cap, some stupid number like that.
Numbers.
And then that makes a difference, because when you bring in Deshaun Watson, you do still have about $60 million under the cap. That's the thing. You're still going to have Deshaun Watson and that money to work with, and you're still going to have picks this year. It's not like you're giving up your entire draft. You're just giving up your first two picks in this draft. To me, the trade and the idea that I came up with for what the Texans to do, it is palatable for the Texans and for the Jets. And if you're trying to make a deal, you want to be able to come out of it feeling good about what you did, and you want the person you're trading with to feel the same way. And the Jets would give up a ton of picks, but I don't want you to send me Quinn and Williams. For what? You're going to have to pay him soon, and you're not ready to be good yet. You can take him, but I'm not going to try to trade him to you, because I want the deal to go through. I want that first round draft pick in 2024 on draft day. That's what I want. I want to take your number two pick. I want Sam Darnold if I'm the Texans. I want to take your number two pick and trade it to the Carolina Panthers and let them pick Zach Wilson. Let them take him. I'm going to take Sam Darnold, and I'm going to get extra picks. That's what I'm trying to do. It makes a lot more sense to do it that way, as opposed to dealing with hopes and maybes when you're talking about Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold.
There's an available running back that potentially could be a guy to join David Johnson in the backfield for the Texans. We'll discuss that next.